And let's look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and like I say, my throat is real bad. I'm not going to, there's no big deal here. Just some simple things and just have a little Bible study and let you go. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice what Paul prays for these things, these Ephesians. And there are seven prayers in this book. He prays for them. But look what he says there in verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. I'm interested in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding. Now, you know the distinctions that we find in this Bible, God would have you to understand his word. Now, you won't be able to understand all the Bible. There's nobody that's alive that can understand every phase of this book. You can't exhaust it. Every time you go in there and you begin to read and study, you see something different. I hear men that these guys teach and preach around here. I go and I listen to other preachers. I see things in a different light every time. There's something that I see that sheds a little different light on me. But the cardinal doctrines in this Bible to the body of Christ, God would have all of you to understand. And he would have your eyes of understanding to be enlightened. And that's what Paul's praying here. And so there are some things that are different and different doctrine to different people. They're not the same, and you can't make them be the same. You can't put a square peg in a round hole. You can't do it. Things that are different are never the same, and things that are the same are never different. And so we must rightly divide this Bible. And Paul says to study, to show thyself approved, not unto man, but unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I've said this many times, thousands of times. I believe all the Bible is for me as a member of the body of Christ. Just like Robbie read in 1 Corinthians 10. I believe that. I believe it's all for me. It's for my learning. It's for my admonition. I believe that. But it's not all to me as a member of the body of Christ. And there is a body of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul, and it's called sound words in the Bible. It's called the faith in the Bible. And God would have every saved individual in the body of Christ to believe that faith and be in unity with that faith. Look in chapter 4 of Ephesians. And the only way that you can understand your Bible is to rightly divide your Bible. And the only way, and if you don't understand your Bible, because you reject right division, there's something going to happen. And look, but before we go there, look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These are the gifts. Now, why did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. Has nothing to do with living without sin. Has nothing to do with a perfect life. It's perfecting. The same word is translated mending in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. In other words, they were over there mending their nets. They were repaired, bringing them together. God would have to where you could be useful. A fishing net that's tore, ripped, it's not useful if it's divided. And he's bringing them together, mending their net. God gave the pastors, teachers, the evangelists for the perfecting, the bringing together, the bringing the unity, perfecting, maturing, growing up in the Lord. Not just a little babe, but a full-grown child, a son of God Almighty, to the full age of knowledge, knowing what you believe, why you believe it, knowing this book, that the instructions in this book. That's what God would have you to do today. You want to know the will of the Lord for you today? I tell you what the will of the Lord is for you. He wants you to know the faith that you're to be in unity of. He wants you to know what He's doing today. Most of the body of Christ is doing the opposite of what the Lord is doing. They don't know what the Lord's doing today. Do you realize the Lord today is building a house? He's building a building. And Paul laid the foundation for that building. And it has to do with the gospel of Christ. And we build upon that foundation, work laboring with God. We working with Him. What's He doing? He's building the building. What are you putting in that building? What are you doing in that building? What is your job in that building? You've got to know what kind of building we're building. We're not building a barn. We're building the body of Christ. He's called it a holy temple. He's called it a house. He's building a house. He's not in no kingdom. He ain't concerning himself with a kingdom today. He's concerning himself with his building. He's not building a kingdom out here or a temple out here. He's building a spiritual building. Most people don't even know that. And you hear them say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." God, we're not to pray that. I ain't looking for a kingdom. I'm looking for the King. Now look. Goes on, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, maturing of the saints, for the ministry, for the edifying. The word edifying is simply building up. That's what the word means. For the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all the body, come in the unity of the faith. Now, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, mature, full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. And the only thing that's going to build you up and cause you to grow from a child into a full-grown a person, man in Christ, is the faith. Make no mistake about it. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And they're out there lying in wait to deceive you. Now I want to talk to you about some things. I want to talk to you about God would have you to understand. He prayed for you. Paul did. That your eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Look in Colossians. In Colossians. Hang on to Ephesians. We're going to come right back there. But look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You know, look what he says in verse 9. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Look in chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Folks, there is a full assurance of understanding. God would have you to understand His Word. God would have you to understand what He's doing. Look in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice in verse 7. Consider what I say, Paul. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. People say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. That's your problem. That's your fault. God would have you to understand it. And it's wrote in sixth grade English. It's not the problem of people don't understand it. It's the problem. The problem is they don't believe. Now, I know the Lord would have you to understand this Bible. I know He wants you to. But back in Ephesians chapter 4, look what happens when you don't understand it. Or you reject it. Notice what He says in verse chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. When people, their understanding gets darkness, it gets darkened, and they get blinded. While Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, a God wants worship, the God of religion of this world, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why did they get their minds blinded? Because they refused to believe. Now you got to think with me, folks. There's something happens to people when they reject the light of God. They have enough understanding, they see the difference, and they reject it if it goes against their religion or against their traditions, and they reject it, something happens. What is it? Well, let me give you an example. Take with me to Matthew. Take Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, and also take Luke. And look at these two passages of Scripture in Luke 18 and Matthew 16. Now notice in Matthew chapter 16 first. In Matthew chapter 16, notice in verse 23. And we'll look at Luke chapter 18, verse 34. In Luke, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus begins to tell what they're going to do to Him in verse 21. Peter takes Him in verse 22 after the Lord tells him He's going to be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. What the Lord had told us was going to happen to Him. But He, the Lord, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, what? Did He call him Satan? There's one of His apostles that had been preaching for 3 years. Why in the world did Jesus call him Satan? Look what he said. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Why did the Lord tell Peter that? Because Satan was using him. How could Satan use Peter? He had power to heal the sick. He had power to raise the dead. I mean, God give him that power. Look in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I about stripped the gear there. I need my cough medicine. Lester told me today, he'd give me some good news. I said, I'm about drunk over half a bottle of cough medicine. He said, well, I had drank three, so to get over here. But notice what he said in verse 18. Same thing. Verse 33, and they shall scourge him, put him to death. Third day he shall rise. And they understood none of these things. And the saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. You know why Peter said what he did? He didn't understand. You know what that tells me? That tells me if people don't understand, they're just an open candidate for the devil. To take in anything, any doctrine, like a child, be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And Paul said that the Spirit speaketh now expressly, emphatically, that in the latter days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, play-acting, hypocritical, and they're preaching doctrines, and they're preaching traditions for doctrines, and they're all of that, and that's all Satan, and people just swallow that up. Why? They refuse to understand what the truth of the book is. When you fail to understand what God is doing and you don't understand it and you don't try to understand it, you open yourself up to the devil. I don't care who you are. And you'll just be like my ducks when I was a little boy. Y'all have heard the story. When I was a little boy down there, I had two little white ducks. And they grew up. Daddy had some corn, and I'd throw out corn and watch them catch them corn in the air. Well, I got some washers, little tiny washers. I was a mean, and I'd throw a washer, and they'd catch it just like the corn. Well, my ducks died. That's the way a lot of people are. They grabbing out for anything. They'll get truth. They'll get washers. They'll get glad. It don't matter. And they die spiritually. Now, for a little bit, I want to give you some things. Now, before I do, look in Romans chapter 11. Now, here's another thing that happens when you are ignorant. And God don't want you to be a part of the largest denomination in the world. You know what that is? Here it is. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. The ignorant brethren are the largest denomination in the world. What is it? I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Why? Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. You know what happens when you're willfully ignorant of the truth and you don't want to understand it? You get wise in your own thinking within your own self. You know what the majority of Christian does today, or religion today? They worship a God out of their own imaginations. Out of their heart. That's what the children of Israel did. Look back with me in Jeremiah just for a moment. And notice in the book of Jeremiah. There are several passages back here that I could use. chapter 13, we'll just use a couple of them. In chapter 13, you ought to run this reference. Go back to chapter 11. I'll start back there and give you a couple. Verse, he's talking to about Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Israel, the God of Israel. Verse 8, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear. They just wouldn't obey it, they wouldn't even listen. But walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Look in chapter 13. In chapter 13, verse 10. Not that they can't, they say they don't understand. They just refuse to hear the Word of God. Have you ever talked to somebody about right division? I don't want to even hear that. I don't want to even talk about that. Look what he said. For gods. To serve them and to worship them shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. Look in chapter 16. Chapter 16. Verse 12. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart. That they may not hearken unto me. Chapter 17. And look at the heart. Robbie quoted it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, folks, people walk, follow, try to worship God after their evil heart, after the imagination of their heart. They don't know the God of this Bible. Your understanding is darkened. Now, let me give you some things. Don't be wise in your own conceits. The Bible talks about if ye thee that are spiritual. Look over there with me for a moment. 1 Corinthians. Notice what he says in chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you think you're spiritual? Well, you want to be, don't you? You want to be close to the Lord? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, well, here's the test. It ain't how many pews you can jump. It ain't how loud you can holler. It ain't how much money you give. It ain't how much time you give. It ain't how all that. What determines the spiritual? Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto him or you are the commandments of the Lord. You know how you judge whether somebody's spiritual or not? First of all, how they treat Paul. how they look at the Romans through Philemon. That's where your faith is. That's where the doctrine of the church is. That's where the commandments of the Lord. That's how you can know whether you're living for the Lord or not. That's the test. Now let me give you some things quickly and I'm going to let you go. I got three things. Three distinct, well, maybe it might grow into four, but I'm starting out with three. Okay? The gospel. You ever think about the gospel? The main thing, I'm going to put it up here like this. I'm going to put it. And here's Paul. Now, you know Peter, Pete. Look what he says about the gospel. Turn with me to Matthew and look in Matthew chapter 9. Now people, I've heard people say there's only one gospel. Have you ever heard that? Well, look in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, notice in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? Alright, I got the gospel of Jesus over here is preaching. Peter's going to be preaching it. The gospel of the kingdom. Well, I'll tell you what, to save time, I don't have time to do all. Let me just put it like this. I'm just going to put kingdom. Now that's a literal kingdom. If you want to read about it, I don't have time to go there, but read about it in Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah 61. Read about it. What God said. He promised them a kingdom. He promised them a time that He would save them from their enemies. That a time that the lion would eat straw like ox, a time where the lion and the lamb could lay down together. You see, there's a time in the future that God's going to pour His grace out on this world. Not just a man, but all His creation, on the animal creation. And there ain't going to be no carnivores anymore. There's not going to be no lion eating flesh no more, or tigers or anything like that. They're going to eat straw. They're going to eat hay. They're going to eat grass. And there's not going to be any poisonous snakes. The Bible said a baby could play over the hole of an asp there and not be harmed. That's the kingdom out here. That's in the future. When He pours out His grace on all the earth. Now, He's talking about a kingdom as a hand. Chapter 10, verse 1, and when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these, and he lists them. Verse 4, you'll find Judas Iscariot is one of them. Did he have power to cast out devils? He was a devil. Heal the sick. He said, have not I chosen 12 of you and one of you is the devil? Don't ever think that the devil can't perform miracles. He can. Look on with verse 5. These 12 of the Gentiles and in of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you want to know about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, read the book of Ezekiel. When he talks about his lost sheep that's scattered upon the mountains of Israel. Read Jeremiah when he talks about the shepherds that have scattered his sheep and they've become lost. When Jesus come out and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he's talking about that nation that the shepherds had scattered out through their idolatry. About it. Notice what he said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What were they to preach? The kingdom is at hand, right? Now go back to where we was in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16. Notice in verse 13. He asked them, saying, Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom can say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter had a revelation from God that was Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but upon the rock, his profession that he was Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock. That's the foundation that he's going to build that church that he's talking about. And I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Tell me something. What are keys used for? To lock something up with, don't you? To unlock something, right? Hang on to Matthew and look in Luke. No, I tell you what. Yeah, let's see. Wait a minute. Let me get... No, turn over to a couple pages. We'll use this one. Look in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 17. Everybody there? It wasn't but two pages now. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. What church is he talking about? You reckon that's a Jewish church? I reckon it is. The word church is called out of people. Firemen go out and they call a meeting at the firehouse. You know what they're having? They're having fire church. That's right. But it's like baptism. As soon as they see the word church, I say, well, that's the body of Christ. Church is not all the same in the Bible. But look what he said. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen, a man, and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And you know good and well that don't work today. There are some things that me and you can agree on, and we could pray and ask the Father to help Jesus over, and we wouldn't get it. Now, can I have somebody to agree with me for me to win the lottery? I'll share. You know, I think about things. I think about people that's been in my life. I think about my dad a lot. My dad never had much education, but my dad had a lot of wisdom. And I look back and I see the wisdom that he had. He got sick while I was young, but I still remember a lot of things that he did. But there was a time in my life when doctors said that Duke said he had Alzheimer's and there was nothing they could do, and he was slipping away from me. And there's times when I brought him up here and I was at New Hope, and I'll never forget that time he looked at me and said, "Something's wrong with me. I can't do the things I want to do." You know something? I remember times me and my dad will go to the church house or kneel down somewhere, and I prayed and asked God to heal my dad. Now, don't talk to me about didn't have enough faith. I knew God had the power enough. He could do it. And I prayed and asked God many times to heal my dad. I prayed for my mama in the hospital when she had her surgery. And I was down there that Friday night. And I prayed and asked God to heal her and bring her home. Saturday morning come, Jerry called me and said, "Mom's died." 59 years old. Don't talk to me about not having faith. There are times in my life over and over and over again I've got down and asked God to do something for me and agreed with other men and people, and they'd pray and we'd pray and it never came to pass. You know why? That verse wasn't written to me as a member of the body of Christ. But they did pray and they could act. Why? They had the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever they should bind on earth, it was bound in heaven. If they locked it down here, it was locked. If they loosed it down, it was unlocked up there, and God would do it. But you know why they could do that? They would be under the control of the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, their Holy Ghost came upon them and controlled their thoughts, their actions, and they did walk in His power. You don't have that today. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. The power that's exhibited in us comes through the resurrection. The gospel of the kingdom. They had the keys. Now look with me in Matthew chapter 16 again. Now, David, you've held up 30 twice, so I assume we don't have much time left. Okay, there you go. Well, look what he said. Verse 21, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." So I got the Lord telling them, "I'm going to the cross. I'm going up here. They're going to crucify me. But I'm going down here, and the sign, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise the third day." Okay? And what he says? Then Satan comes into the scene, says, "Be it thought." Now hold the phone. Turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hang on to Matthew. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now look what Paul says the gospel of Christ is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Look back in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have also received, wherein you stand, by which you are saved. Then what is that gospel, Paul? That Christ died for you, buried, raised again the third day. That's the good news. He died for your sins. And He was buried, and God raised Him the third day. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. How do men be saved today? How can they get saved? By believing the gospel. Peter preached, he'd been preaching for 3 years, the gospel of the kingdom. Did he know that Christ was going to die? Did he? Well, then he couldn't be preaching Paul, as Paul says, my gospel over here. He couldn't be preaching the same gospel, could he? Do y'all see that distinction? That's a distinction that God put in that Bible. And in Galatians chapter 2, they used the keys of the kingdom of heaven, shook Paul's hand, said, we'll go to the circumcised, and you go to the uncircumcised. And they bounded in heaven, and the Great Commission went out the door right there. The second thing I want you to see is that this gospel over here, it has no... Paul said we have forgiveness through the what? Shedding of His blood, right? Difference. No death, no blood. Second thing, the preaching of Jesus Christ. Look in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Acts 3, 21. Whom the heavens, a reference to Jesus Christ, verse 20, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Who'd he been preaching about Christ? We have it since the world began, right? Peter's preaching about Jesus Christ, is he not? Since the world began. The prophets, he's saying nothing but what's the prophet saying. Look in Romans chapter 16, 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. And I don't have time to do all that, but verse 25 says, now unto Him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. Right? And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. This over here has to do with secret. This over here has to do with a mystery that was not revealed unto the Apostle Paul, and it's concerning the gospel, the body of Christ. This over here is prophecy. Peter's preaching the things that the prophets prophesied. Now you take Acts 3:21 and you take Romans 16:25 and you can't see a distinction between since the world began being made known and then a secret since the world began. Folks, this was not known. Nobody knew it till Paul. That's a distinction. Preaching of Jesus Christ has to do with that. Then you find the church. The church is a new nation. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to close. Turn to Deuteronomy. First of all, look in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, notice in verse 18. Christ unto devils, not to God. Do not gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not, of the rock that begat thee. You know what begat is? Begotten? Born? Look with me and turn over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see the difference, distinction between who Peter's writing to, who's Paul writing to. this over here, Peter, the little flock. He told the little flock, said, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This over here, nation. Right? He said to the leaders of Israel, "The kingdom shall be taken from you, a nation." That's what he said in Luke chapter 12. The little flock get the kingdom. Look at what Peter's writing. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us." What's that next word? "Again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 5. "Ready to be revealed in the last time." What's ready to be revealed? The salvation. "Come down to and receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." What's the end of their faith? The salvation of their soul. Gotta go. Verse 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ," second coming. "He that is to the end, the same shall be saved." They're going to get souls into the wrath of God in the tribulation at the second coming of Christ. He's preaching to the little flock. He's preaching to a new nation that was begotten again, being born again. Look to verse 13. "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Chapter 2. In verse 5, "ye are lively stones, and build up a spiritual house, a holy" what? "Priesthood." You're not priesthood. You're not priest if you're a member of the body of Christ. For them. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. On them, they don't need sacrifices. The blood of Christ. Verse 9, "but ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy God, nation." This over here, mystery, church, the body of Christ, has to do with the body of Christ. You know who's in it? We're not a nation. We're no nation. We're sinners. We're ungodly sinners. We deserve the wrath of God. And God's and body in His building. Church never done anything good because of His grace toward us. Look what it says. Come over with me and let's look at something. Look back in, just go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's over here, behold, the Lamb of God. A lamb didn't die for you. You know what they looked at that blood there? Jesus said in Matthew 26, He said, this the blood of the New Testament. Over here, you have no testament. No covenants to you that are here. God never promised to save you. Look what He said, and you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereof I am too. The man Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. A man took your place on that cross. A man, God's Son, was made sin for you who knew no sin. And He died. He took your wrath. He took the curse of God. He took what you deserve upon Himself and died for all His sins so you could have eternal life. He was rich and became poor. That through His might be rich. Thank God for Jesus Christ dying on that cross. Paul said we glory in the only thing we got to boast about, not our religion. We don't have any. I've said it over and over. I'm not a religious man. I don't believe in religion. I'm a saved man in the body of Christ. I believe in the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. I believe Philemon is for me. Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, distinctions in your church is not the little flock. The church is going to have leaders that are going to set upon, on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. On and on and on the thing goes. We're not a nation saved by the grace of God. How about you? Now folks, these is distinctions that God placed in that Bible. These is things that is in you'd have to just flat reject it not to see a difference. A difference in the kingdom and Paul's gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't even know it. They'd been preaching. And by the way, these people over here, they'd also been baptizing for 3 years and 3.5 years over here. What were they showing forth? Why were they doing it? I went over it. The priesthood. On and on the thing goes. Distinctions. Rightly divide the word of truth. Shake hands with one another and